Well, good morning, Terra Nova Church. Glad you could be here today. My name is Scott. If I have not had a chance to meet you, I hope to be able to do that. We are, during this Advent season, supporting Love 146 and their fight against child trafficking, sex trafficking all over the world. We are going to be raising funds to support the White Home and the Round Home in the Philippines this Christmas season. And a few years ago, one of our pastors from our Terra Nova network, Paul Gordon, was able to travel to those locations and meet with the people who work there and meet some of the children who are served there. And we would want to share a short video from that trip that he took as he interviewed some of the people who worked in these homes servicing these kids. So you understand and know what the value is of what we are doing in supporting Love 146, White Home and Round Home.
Dr. Velasco, thank you for the work that you do here at the Round Home. Can I ask you a couple questions? Part of our celebration of Christmas at Church Back Home is celebrating the coming of hope, peace, joy, and love in the birth of Christ. Can you talk to me a little bit about how those things come to be here at your work at the Round Home in the lives of these children?
First of all, as December approaches, the activities like devotions, Bible study, focus more on discussing the significance of the birth of Christ and how we, the children, the staff, can exemplify the teachings of Christ in our lives. So in daily devotion, the children are encouraged to reflect on the life of Christ as well as the teachings of Christ and the significance of His specific teachings in their daily lives. And the Bible study also focuses more on the life of Jesus and what He taught the people, especially the children. And as we interact with the children, we also try to think of what Jesus would do in this situation. How would Jesus react to this child in this situation? So there's always that consciousness of the Jesus presence in all things that we do.
It's beautiful. So how can a church on the other side of the world, in the U.S., in the state of New York, come alongside the work that you're doing here in the Round Home?
First of all, we appreciate the fact that a church over there is willing to help us in one way or another. So we appreciate prayers. We know what prayers can do, and the knowledge that people are over there are praying for us, that gives a lot of encouragement and hope for the children. It would also be beneficial for all concerned to make other people aware. People who have not interacted with us, people who have not seen us, if they are made aware of the situation of these children, that means a lot.
Thank you for the work you do. You can be assured that at Terra Nova, we're going to be praying for you, and we're not going to shy away from this issue, and you have a long-term partner at Terra Nova Church. Thank you
very much.
Merry Christmas, Terra Nova. I'm over here in the Philippines at the Round Home, and I just got to spend the evening at a Christmas celebration here with the children. What an incredible night it was. If Christmas is that time of year when we're just celebrating Advent and the coming of hope, peace, joy, and love, and we're also looking forward to it coming again, man, I witnessed that here tonight in the lives of these children, that this is a place where the love of Christ is just on display in beautiful ways. So I just want to say thank you for all of the years that you've been a part of supporting the work here. It's incredible to witness and be a part of it. And I can encourage you, just continue to pray for the work that's going on here. Continue to give this Advent season and even beyond. This is a partner in the work of the gospel. that we're going to stand next to, and I'm so elated I got to be a part of it on your behalf, because it's the generosity of you folks that helped make this happen. So thank you on behalf of myself. Thank you on behalf of all the children and Love 146 for your support. Merry Christmas.
So this Christmas season, and more than just helping support the White Home and Round Home, which you can do by giving online on our website, or you can text an amount to Advent at the number 84321 on your smartphone. We want to be able to support that. We are going to be taking an offering the night of Christmas Eve, where all the funds that we raise Christmas Eve will go to help the White Home and Round Home where Pastor Paul was able to visit. But we also want to encourage and want to challenge all of us to engage in this right here at home. And so we have downstairs a table as you leave today, which 1146 volunteer will be there from the 1146 volunteer team right here in the Capital District with information on how you can engage and get involved right here. And ending child sex trafficking and the work that happens right around in our backyard. So we want to encourage you to do that. Come on forward. Iversons. You know, two years ago I met you guys, it was just two of you. And now there is so many. Good morning. The Iversons are here this morning to light our Advent candle. Each week, we light a different candle representing a different theme, which we work through. The first one we lit was the prophet's candle, which reminded us that the birth of Christ was foretold, that this was not some kind of accident, but this was God's plan all along, that he foretold of this one who would come. The second one we lit was the Bethlehem candle, which reminded us the place in which Jesus was born, that he was not born in a great city with a great people and a great pomp and circumstance, but he came humbly, born in a stable, born in a feeding trough. The third candle we lit was a shepherd's candle, and it reminds us that the first ones to hear the announcement that Jesus was born were the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, the lowest of the low in their society and their culture. And it reminds us that Jesus comes to everybody, not just the rich, not just the wealthy, not just the important people, but even the lowly. And that kind of leads us into this last candle that we've lit today, which is the angel candle. Thank you, guys. Good job. The angel candle reminds us that this news of Christ is great news of great joy to all people. And I want you to just hear those words this morning. To all people. What does that mean for us? That means that the news of Jesus' birth is good news for wealthy people, for strong people, for good people, but it's also great news for broken people and wrecked people and lost people and sinful people. It's good news for all of us because this news of this one who came by the word of the prophet, this one who came in a humble way in Bethlehem, this one who came to lowly shepherds comes to all of us. And it's great joy for us because it is through Jesus that we're able to be reconciled to God. And so this Advent season, we want to take this moment, take this time to stop and think on that and remember that this is great news of great joy. Where would you be today if Jesus hadn't come? What does that do in your heart as you think on that? Where would we be this morning if the Advent had not happened? This is great news of great joy given to us by the angels, the messengers, here to declare the things that God has done. Great news of great joy for all people. This morning we have the privilege of hearing from Matt Schwartz as he brings us the word this morning. For many of you, Matt has been a fixture here from day one, and even beyond that, I think he was born at Terra Nova. I don't know. Is that possible? Matt is one of our tribe leaders. He leads our worship teams here at the church, and we are just so thrilled to have him come this morning and open up the word of God for us. Let me pray together as he comes. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the reminders that we have on the ways in which you came to us, that you came to us not in great pomp and circumstance, but humbly. You came to us as it was foretold by the prophets. You came to us through a no-name people in a no-name place. You came to lowly shepherds, and you bring great joy for all people. We're reminded of that today, and we are thankful for that today. I pray this morning that you be with Matt as he opens up the word, that he would speak your words, and God, that you would challenge our hearts and change us today from what we hear and what we learn and what we come to know. God, reveal yourself today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, welcome to Terra Nova Church. Thank you, Scott. As Scott mentioned, I'm Matt. Some of you know me if you're new this morning. It would be wonderful to get to know you after the service. My wife, Jessamyn, and I have been, like Scott said, at Terra Nova right from the beginning, from this launch, and in Troy before that. And I would say that the last 10 years of journeying through life alongside our brothers and sisters here at Terra Nova have been definitely formative. And the Lord has chosen to put us in these places where we've had to rely on his strength. We've grown significantly as a couple and as believers in Christ, and I'm excited to bring you the word this morning. I thought, oh, the preaching will be simple. It's just like, you know, well, I'll do like 10 calls to worship, and I'll just keep going, you know, like my little spiel at the beginning. But actually, this morning, I got to wake up later than usual. That was nice. And I got to kind of cruise in. Daniel got me a bottle of water, and I get to use the cool headset mic. So I'm very, very excited. But in all seriousness, we are going to delve into a topic this morning that there's not enough days in the universe to say all the sermons about love. Okay, this is a humongous topic, and so this morning I'm just going to be covering one very specific angle, one very specific takeaway for us all this morning. So this is by far not the exhaustive sermon on love, and let's just be remembered this morning too that we all have the Word of God. And this is a powerful tool for us. And no matter who you are, whether you whether it's the first time you've cracked this open, or whether it's the 50th year that you've been reading the scriptures, this is truth for us, and it's power. So it could be me or Daniel or Scott or Matt or anybody else you see out here preaching the word. It's not us. It's the Scripture, and it's the Holy Spirit that dwells among us in this room right now. So here's the angle I'd like us to ponder and think about this morning. God has eyes wide open with the way he demonstrates his love to us. And God has designed us and intended us to love the way that he does, with eyes wide open. And if we are called to love the way that God loves us, how exactly do we go about doing that? That's the hard part. So let's pray for our time together. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to what you have for us today. I pray that we would be humble, and I pray that as you reveal yourself through your word, that we would respond rightly, and that we would go from this place reflecting what we have learned to others. In your name we pray, amen. So I want us to open up our imaginations for just a moment and think about a relationship. So this could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be mother, father, friend, anything. This person you have a very good relationship with. Love is shared. There's a positive exchange between the two people. You're important in each other's lives. You're integral in each other's lives, and this is somebody that you really love. But one day the unthinkable happens. This person all of a sudden just sins against you. They turn their back on you. Maybe they take something. They lie about you. They scorn your name. Maybe they take advantage of you. Maybe they take money from you. And they exit your life at the blink of an eye. It would be very easy to say, the sin that they committed against me is just unforgivable. So it's that bad. Now, use your imagination for a moment and think, you wake up the next morning and the clock has been turned back 5 years. And this person obviously is still in your life, and you see this person for the first time. Suddenly, your emotions start welling up because you know this person just hurt me, but now, by some act of science, time has been dialed back. They haven't committed this act yet, but you know they will. You can see what's coming. Could you love this person still? Up until the betrayal, through it, and then beyond, and stick around afterward? How would your relationship with this person be formatively changed? How would it look loving them now? Church, this is how God loves us. He loves us with eyes wide open. He knows our history. He knows our future. He sees us for what we are and who we were and what we will become. But with eyes wide open, he engages. He pushes into our darkness. And when you were at your worst, wallowing in the darkness, God's love was at its best. With full knowledge and anticipation of how and when and where we would fail him, with eyes wide open, God remained faithful to us. Now, on the flip side, without God, if left to our own devices, what would that look like to interact with this person now? What would it look like to love the son who we knew would fall into drug abuse? To love the spouse that we already knew would betray us? To love the friends that you knew were going to move away? To invest yourself in and serve the ones that you knew were going to abandon you? I'm not sure I would have as easy of a time putting myself out for those people. But God did. And he did with eyes wide open. This did not cause him to retreat, but it caused him to come closer. And here we arrive at the Christ event, the birth of Jesus. What a perfect demonstration at Christmas time to show the love of God demonstrated in this incredible way. So we're going to go there now. If you have your Bibles, take them out. There's pew Bibles in front of you as well. We're going to go to the first book of the New Testament called Matthew. This book tells the story of Jesus' life. It tells of his birth, his life and ministry, and his death and resurrection. And this is how it all begins. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 18. The scriptures say this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is a miracle, right? I mean, this goes beyond all laws of nature. God brings Jesus into this virgin Mary, into this small dark place of Bethlehem, into an insignificant, humble family. Beyond the smallness of it all, there's scandal wrapped in this. Because if you're Joseph and Mary and you're walking around and people know you're betrothed, and back then everybody knew each other, right? So if you're betrothed to be married, you're engaged, but she's pregnant, how many people are going to say, oh, right, yeah, the Holy Spirit, totally, right? There was scandal wrapped up in this. Can you imagine what that might have been like for them? But God chooses to use this situation to bring about his son. Dark, lowly, scandalous, small, these are not words we typically typically associate with the coming of a king. But God demonstrates in his love in this way to show us that his love was to be displayed and shared with even the lowliest and humble of us all. He did not try to accomplish his task and bring a change in our hearts by uprooting political leaders, changing social structures, or even changing our circumstances. And he comes to a place where we can really have our hearts changed. Why? Because he knew us. He had eyes wide open to our past, present, and future. He intimately knew the way right into our hearts. And this love is radical, and this love is costly. God saw the scene he was putting his son into, and he did it anyway. He knew that those he sent his son to, us, that we would be unfaithful. He knew that we would lie to him, scorn him, turn our backs on him, spit on him, mock him, eventually kill him. But he sent him anyway. He saw and knew, and he was faithful. Even down to the basic premise of Jesus didn't have a house to be born into. He was born into a cave. Many people believe it was a cave, not a manger, so I'll stay with that. I'd like to go over now to the book of Titus. Again, if you have your Bibles and you'd like to open up there. We're going to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus is in the right part of your Bible in the New Testament, right after all the other T's, Thessalonians, Timothy, and then we come to Titus. So this is chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, and we're going to hear Titus reinforce this radical nature of God's love for us. Verse 3 starts. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. While we were still in the midst of our sin, church, Jesus died for us. And there was nothing we did to deserve it. He chose to do it. He measured the cost. And the cost was the death of his only son, Jesus. And he chose to do that anyway. Let's sit in that moment. Let's sit in this a moment longer. That amidst our sin, Jesus chose to save us anyway. If you've been around for a while, over the last year or so, we've been going through a series called The People of God. In the Old Testament, we've been looking at God's relationship and walking through with the Israelites, his chosen people. And over the hundreds of stories and the hundreds of sermons that we've had on this, there's been two constants. The first one is God is faithful, and number two, we are not. The Israelites, though, are God's chosen people. This was not a mistake. This was a radical display of love for him to choose these people. The choice of God to choose these people was done with eyes wide open. He knew exactly who these people were. He knew what they would do. He knew how they would do it. And he chose them anyway. He chose to be faithful. And God has been choosing us since the beginning of creation. Genesis 1:26. And you don't need to turn there if you don't want to. I'll read it for you. Genesis 1:26 said, "And then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and of the livestock, and over over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God had created everything. He had created the universe. He had created the trees, and he had put the fish in the sea, and the birds in the air, and the animals on the ground. And then he said, "This is good." He looked at what he had made, and he said it was good. But then he said, let's make man. Let's create this person after my own likeness. And he imprinted on us his likeness. He put his image on us. He set us apart. We are chosen and special. Isaiah 43:7 says that we are created for God's glory. He formed us, he made us, and we are beautiful in his eyes. Okay, now listen carefully here. If Scripture says we are created by God, in the image of God, for the glory of God, that wasn't me, that was Scripture saying that, then we have the capacity to love like God does, because God is love. Okay, I'm going to say that again. If Scripture says that we are created by God, in the image of God, and for the glory of God, then we have the capacity to love the way God does. In fact, God tells us to love. He asks us to take part in this essential nature of his that he's imprinted on us. First, he asks us to love God. Deuteronomy 10 says, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and soul? And in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, love others. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When we obey God and we exercise this ability that we've been given to love, something beautiful happens. We begin living more in the way that we are created to be and live. We come now to the book of 1 John. This is chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. It says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This was kind of transformative in my life, hearing this verse, and it kind of perplexed me. And since I had a couple of months to prepare this sermon, it was a wonderful kind of time to dig into what this actually means. How can it be that God's love is perfected in us when we love others? I thought, in Bible school, they taught us, God is perfect. Well, he is. So just stay with me here. So the word perfected, if you look at what the Greek translation is, it actually more accurately means brought to completion. So I want you to see what John is getting at here. When we follow God's design of loving others the way that God, When we follow God's design of loving others the way God loves, his love is brought to completion in us because we are part of the equation. It's just like teaching somebody to make a pie crust. Now, I was going to go baking a cake, but because my mother's here, and my mother and I have history in pie crust making. There are many things my mother taught me how to do, how to cook, and I think I'm the chef I am today because of her. But she never taught me how to make pie crust. So recently, I've taught her to make pie crust, because Jessamyn taught me, because her grandmother taught her, so it's definitely a Bartow thing. So anyway, it's like making pie crust, teaching somebody, okay? So stay with me here. You're teaching somebody to make this really delicate thing, and they watch you, you make it step by step, you get on FaceTime, and you say, okay, Mom, watch what I'm doing here. You measure, and you weigh the ingredients, because when we're baking, we always weigh, right, Amber? So everybody knows that. You mix and you fold and you put it together and then you chill it in the freezer. And then you roll it out and you make a beautiful pie crust. There's joy when this pie is finished. There's joy in this completed pie. Okay? But the lesson is not fully completed until you watch your mother or your student bake the pie themselves and have success. The process is completed, because you've taught somebody something, and they've seen it done, and they've done it too. So now the lesson is completed. So there you go, the gospel according to the culinary arts. Thank you very much. No. Okay. So for those of you who love equations, if we receive and know and understand God's love, then we can also carry out God's design for us in the act of loving others. But this is obviously not as easy as it seems, because if we believe that God loves us with eyes wide open, we begin to see that we are that person in the story that I referred to earlier. We are the one that sins against our friend. We are the one that did the unthinkable, the egregious, cutting, dark sin. If we really get that, if we really get that God loves us in spite of that, that we are that person, that should really bring us to our knees today, and that should break us. Because at this point, we could turn and run. The response to God revealing himself through his radical love sometimes can look like rejection. Sometimes it can look like acceptance. But as Titus 3 says, God offers us his mercy and he saves us out of the former lives that we were in before. And he does it while we were still sinning. We can reject or we can turn to him, a God who loves us with eyes wide open and accepts us as we are. So how do we really know if we've accepted God's love? How do we really know if we've let that weigh us down and fill us and really change us? How does that change the way we look at ourselves and how we look at the world? Remember, Jesus came in a way that would affect our hearts radically on the inside, not necessarily our circumstances or behavior on the outside. So what does it look like for us to live in a broken world, but live out of a knowledge that God has loved us completely and accepts us, despite all of the darkness and all the things that we do in our lives to try to push him out? This is something to ponder, and I would encourage you to, as I am doing myself, something to ponder this week and this Christmas season. Maybe it means we're not so hard on ourselves or others. Maybe it means our outward image isn't as important. It's not our first priority. Maybe we begin to see the rat race for what it actually is and more deeply engage with people in our community. Maybe it means when we worship, we're not just going about an act, but we're truly reflecting our gratitude and love to God. So how can we love? We've come to the hard part. Because we're commanded to do so, right? I think Scripture has been very clear. But the truth is, to love the way that God does, it gets really messy. And I'll quote Pastor Scott when I say this. If God loves sinful, broken people, we cannot love the way God does unless we're loving who? Sinful, broken people. But don't worry. In our own strength, this task is completely impossible. The only thing that makes this possible is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And if we want to love the way that God loves, we need to be empowered by him. In John 14, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said." We need the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And even though we can't be like God, we can't be all-knowing, we can't see into the future, we can still choose to love people knowing that eventually they are going to hurt us. Spoiler. And if we are accepting of God's love and we are loving out of an overflow of his Spirit who dwells in us when we accept him, then we have a fighting chance. So I want to leave you now with four words that should give us a pretty good idea of how to love and that mirror what God's love looks like to us. The four words, if you want to write these down, no pressure, but if you want to write these down, they are vulnerable, humble, consistent, and forgiveness. vulnerable, humble, consistent, and forgiveness. So if we're vulnerable, if we look to Jesus about vulnerability, he's got it down. He came as a baby. Babies are very vulnerable. They need protection. They need feeding. They need care. They need warmth. They need safety. Jesus began his life as a vulnerable, helpless baby. He had relationships with people, and he lived his life in front of people. He asked for help. He was angry in front of people. He wept in front of people. He asked for prayer from people. Even though he was the savior of the universe, he was vulnerable, and he asked for help. Being vulnerable in our culture is seen as weak. It's not a trait that we necessarily associate with positivity. But what being vulnerable does is it shows people who you are at the core. It shows that we are not our own, but that we need a savior. We need saving. And being vulnerable shows that to people. The next word, humble. Jesus loved us, I think we've seen throughout this time. Jesus loves us without expecting anything in return. If it's all about you, it's not love. It's just emotion. It's just good feeling. And in our culture, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, the card or the movie about this great love story. We live in a what's in it for me culture, and what we see in Jesus' life is that he put his Father's plan in front of his comfort. He put his reputation behind him, and he put his Father's needs in front of that. He put his needs on the table. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, at almost every wedding you've ever been to, love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. We need to be humble people if we want to start loving the way God does. Consistency. Most of the time, loving people is not flashy. It's not super exciting all the time. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's that being consistent, showing up when you say you will, and being there for people will speak volumes of your love for them. Consistency is one of the main things that when Jessamyn and I were talking about this sermon, our parents have done an amazing job at showing us years and years of consistency by walking beside us and showing us Jesus. The trust and respect that you can gain from somebody when they are consistently faithful in your life is an incredible gift. God called the Israelites his people, and he was consistent with them. He walked with them through everything. Through centuries, he walked with them consistently. Jesus walked with his disciples. He picked 12 guys, and he was narrow and deep with those guys. He was consistent with them. He showed up, and he loved them. There's a quote from a folk duo that some of you are aware of, Penny and Sparrow. I've just started kind of getting into their music. They're lovely, lovely guys and wonderful musicians. They have a quote from a song called Duet, and it says, more poetically poignant than I can say it, they say, I see you and I know you, and I'm not going, I see you and I know you, and I'm not going anywhere. Can we be people that others can look at and say, they know me, they see me, and they know I'm not going to go anywhere? Forgiveness. Finally, we need to forgive each other. We need to forbear each other's sins. God forgave us for the wrongs that we did. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgiving most of the time feels like a miscarriage of justice. If we look at the act in which God ushered in forgiveness for us, it was one of the greatest miscarriages of justice in all of history. Here's a perfect guy that was killed like a criminal, beaten, scorned. So why do we, and I'm guilty of this myself, church, for those of you who know me, why do we make fairness a condition by which we forgive? Forgiveness is not about justice. It's about seeing eyes wide open for somebody, what they did, and knowing they're probably going to do it again, and looking at the cross of Jesus, and seeing that all of our sins, yours and mine, were dealt with on the cross. So let us be a people who forgive and look to the cross. Again, let's expect that none of this is going to be easy, and let's not be disappointed or freaked out when anything except brokenness and offense or hurt happen. The times that I've loved the hardest, the times that it's been the hardest to do the act of love, the times that I've had to work the hardest at it, sometimes they've felt horrible. Okay, and I know you're thinking Debbie Downer, Matt, on Christmas. No. I think we need to come to grips with the fact that sometimes loving other people, it feels horrible. Because we're making a choice. We're making a choice to love them, and sometimes that's not easy. But with the Spirit of God living in us, we can love well too. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So if we ask God to make us vulnerable, humble, consistent, and full of forgiveness, then the result is beautiful. Maybe it's painful at times, but the result is ultimately beautiful because we are living more and more the way God intended for us to live and designed us to live. Lives that are lived radically, loving God and loving others. In closing, because God chose us, because he made us, because he showered his love on us, when we love others, we can be part of his mission to save the whole world and to point all people to Jesus. Jesus, who is the greatest gift of love ever given. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Lord, let us see you for who you are this morning, in this season. Let us see the great gift that you have given us in Jesus. Let us see the way that you have beautifully and masterfully created us to love the way that you do, Lord. At the very least, Lord, help us to come to a point where we can say, I know that God loves me, and this is how it's changing me, and this is how it's forming the way that I view myself and view the world. And Lord, in humility, let us wake up each day choosing to love others as you have loved us. Lord, your word has been revealed to us this morning. Help us to be humble enough and quiet enough to respond rightly. And as we have a time of communion now and a time of worship, help us to respond in worship and thank you for what you've done for us. And then let us reflect the good news of Jesus Christ to others. It's not just the songs that we sing. It's not just the angels that we hear about thousands of years ago proclaiming. That's our job. We need to do that better. Help us to push into the dark and messy and scary places in this world. Help us to push in and help us to bring the loving life of Jesus with us. Holy Spirit, would you empower us and help us to do that? And if there are those in this congregation this morning that don't know you, Father, I pray that you would touch hearts and you would soften them and you would begin to speak, because you were sent to every person on this planet that's ever existed or will exist. This is good news for all. Let us celebrate and worship that now. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.